The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. My name is Andrea, for those of you who I haven't met before. And tonight I thought I'd talk about the practice a little bit and how we all have different ways that we navigate this terrain of practice. So meditation practices roughly fall into two categories. There are mindfulness practices and there are concentration practices. Concentration practices are those practices that help to settle and stabilize the mind. Generally, they are engaged in by turning our attention to one aspect of our experience and just allowing the mind to settle on that one aspect. When any other experience outside of that one aspect arises, we let it go as much as possible and just keep returning the mind over and over again to that one aspect of experience. One of the main objects for concentration and the one that we mostly work with here in this center is mindfulness of breathing. So turning the attention to the breathing and allowing the mind to just keep returning to that experience over and over again, whether you're paying attention at the nostrils or at the abdomen, just continuing to return to that experience whenever you hear a sound or the mind gets pulled away to a sound or a thought, letting that go and just returning to the experience of breathing. This helps to settle and stabilize the mind. The mind gets quite still and calm through this practice. It feels pretty good when the mind actually does settle down and manages to stay with that one experience. And this, you know, the concentration practices are generally what most people think of when they think about meditation before they've had much exposure to different kinds of meditation. Most people just think about just focusing on one thing, either saying a mantra or staring at a candle flame or something along those lines where the mind just settles down and stabilizes on one thing. That's how most of us, at least certainly I, thought of what meditation was before I had been exposed to a wider variety of practices. Here at the center, we teach a couple of different ways of cultivating concentration. We teach the mindfulness of breathing, and then we also teach a metta practice from time to time. Gil is leading a series on that right now. And that practice is a concentration practice. We settle and stabilize the mind on the theme of metta, with the metta being the place where we focus our attention. So mindfulness practices, in contradistinction to concentration practices, mindfulness practices are more about being aware of what's happening while it's happening, just the kind of the broader flow of experience. But one of the primary aspects of mindfulness practice is the being aware of the changing nature of experience. In our concentration practice, when we practice concentration, actually one of the things that we do is we settle the mind on something to the point where the mind actually creates an internal image of that experience, and that internal image then becomes really steady and really stable. And so we're not focusing on changing nature of experience so much in concentration practice. In mindfulness practice, that's one of the hallmarks. We attend to the changing nature of our moment-to-moment experience. In mindfulness practices, and there are many different kinds of mindfulness practices, and I'm going to go through several different ways that mindfulness can be practiced. The concentration comes not through the settling of the mind on one thing, but through a stabilization of awareness on changing experience, so that the awareness is steady and stable, even though experience is coming and going within that stable awareness. The hallmark of a concentration in a mindfulness practice is that you know what's happening moment to moment, and the mind doesn't get lost in thought about what's happening. There's a very clear, steady knowing of what is actually happening in our experience, things as they are. In both concentration practices and mindfulness practices, both parts are included. So in concentration practices, mindfulness is included in order to recognize when we are lost or when we have fallen off of the object of our attention, the thing that we've chosen to stabilize our attention on. Mindfulness is needed to recognize when we're not paying attention to that. And in the mindfulness practices, the concentration, which is cultivated through the steadiness of our attention, the concentration brings us able to actually be able to meet our experience, to actually to touch into what is actually happening moment to moment. So in both kinds of practices, concentration and mindfulness are essential. It's sort of a matter of which one is emphasized. Which one are we cultivating a little more intentionally in our practice? So given all these different ways to practice, I've noticed in myself from at different times in my meditation practice and in listening to other people talk about their meditation practices, that at different times and for different people, there are different capacities or propensities in the mind in its capacity to engage in these practices. So sometimes what's easy at one time is not easy at another time. And what is difficult for one person is easy for another, and what's vice versa. What's easy for another person is difficult for another. So in this exploration tonight, I'd kind of like to explore some of the different ways that our practice can unfold, and to hopefully break the mold that there is one right way to meditate. Our minds have very different ways of settling and different ways of connecting with experience. And I'm hoping to offer some different avenues, perhaps, which you might find a way to connect in your own experience to the practice. So I'd like to talk in a little more detail about mindfulness practices, as there's so many different kinds of mindfulness practices, as there are different kinds of concentration practices. But tonight I'm mostly focusing on mindfulness. So I'll just mention three different approaches, two of which we teach here, and one of which we don't actively teach here. The first, the one that we don't actively teach here, is created by a Burmese teacher, Uba Khin, who had a student, Goenka, who really made this technique broadly accessible in the West. And this is the technique of the body scan. And this is a mindfulness technique where you take your attention consciously and sweep through your body, noticing what's happening in various areas of your body, turning your attention to various parts of your body and noticing what the sensations are. A little bit akin to what we did today, in that we, you know, put our attention in the head and then noticed what sensations were happening there. It's kind of that way. You put your attention in a part of your body and notice what's happening, and then you move down and notice what's happening and move down and notice what's happening. So you're connecting to a changing experience through this practice of sweeping through the body. At any one place in the body, there may also be changing experience. So this is a very active kind of practice. It helps to stabilize the attention and train the mind in mindfulness by giving it something to do, something very precise to do. So that activity, that practice of sweeping through the body, which during a period of 45 minutes you might do 5 or 6 times, sweeping through the body, that practice of directing the attention gives the mind something to do and therefore helps you recognize when your mind has gotten lost in thought. That's actually one of the big benefits of concentration practice in terms of settling the mind down, that in concentration practices we always have some anchor for our attention, something we're coming back to, and it's really obvious when we've gotten lost in thought. With the sweeping practice, it is a mindfulness practice, and you recognize that you're lost in thought when you realize you're not doing that sweeping anymore. So it's kind of, in a way, it's got components of the concentration style, because you're doing something very actively, but you're also open to the changing nature of experience. Another approach for mindfulness is the Mahasi approach, which is created by another Burmese meditation teacher, Mahasi Sayadaw. And this is the one in which our mindfulness instructions in the introductory classes that we teach and in a lot of what we teach here is grounded. Both Gil and I have practiced in this Mahasi style quite a bit. And in this practice, we start by turning the attention to the experience of breathing, stabilizing the attention on the breathing, and yet the difference here with the concentration practice is that we actively attend to the changing nature of the sensations of breathing. This is what distinguishes a mindfulness of breathing practice versus a concentration practice. If you're concentrating on the breathing, you're kind of smoothing over the changes. You're just trying to recognize just kind of the rhythm or the flow and not being very attentive to the actual changing nature of the sensations. So with the Mahasi practice, the attention to the breathing is inclined by paying attention to the beginning, the middle, the end of the in-breath, noticing if there's a gap, paying attention to the beginning, the middle, the end of the out-breath, noticing if there's a gap between the out-breath and the in-breath, and particularly noticing kind of the ever-changing nature of the in-breath and the changing nature of the out-breath. That makes this practice a mindfulness practice. It's mindfulness of the changing nature of breathing. And the Mahasi practice simply begins here. It doesn't stop there, but the Mahasi practice, this approach uses this settling into the breathing as a way to cultivate concentration, because again, we're letting go of everything outside of the breath, so it supports that concentration of mind, even as we are paying attention to changing experience. As the mind settles down, then the instructions are to open out to whatever is arising in our experience. On one retreat I sat in Burma, they kept me staying with the breath, until I could sit for a whole hour without the mind wandering. I could know every single breath during that hour. At that point they said, okay, now pay attention to whatever's happening in the whole entirety of your experience. So the Mahasi approach really encourages a concentration before opening up to a kind of expanded awareness. But the practice moves towards this expanded awareness. It is not, the be-all and end-all is not to be able to stay with the breath for the full hour. It actually is to be able to open up and meet whatever is happening in experience. And I would expect also, although I don't have the training in the Uba Khin Goenka approach, I would expect that that practice also moves to an open experience, once the mind has settled down, to an open connection to whatever's happening in experience. So in both of these approaches, there's a form of concentration that settles and stabilizes the mind until it gets to the place where the mind is really settled down, where there's no longer any greed or aversion or sleepiness or restlessness or doubt that's happening in the mind. So the mind is really settled down. It's pretty happy just being in the present moment. And at that point, it starts to open up to the broader aspects of experience, other physical body sensations, hearing, other mental states. And then there's a kind of an open awareness practice that can begin from this broader, spacious awareness, where we don't necessarily direct the attention, but we just simply notice or are more open to noticing what the mind is naturally paying attention to, what's kind of obvious in our experience. This is what I was guiding you in the guided meditation this evening, this very broad kind of awareness. So the other approaches, the other mindfulness approaches, tend to encourage a concentration before opening up. And there's good reason for that. One of the drawbacks or one of the challenges of this kind of broad open awareness practice that I guided you in, and maybe some of you noticed this, particularly as I stopped talking, that this spaciousness, this feeling of connectivity and openness to a broad, expansive field of attention can very easily move into spaciness, that we're not really connecting with experience, we're just kind of spacing out. So that's one of the real challenges with this open awareness, and why I think some of these other approaches suggest getting the concentration developed first. Because when the concentration is strong, the mind will not tend to wander off when it opens up into that broad, open space of awareness. So with this open style of awareness, again, the concentration in this style is cultivated through the continuity of just noticing moment to moment a sound, a pressure, a vibration, a mood, a dryness, a pulsing, a tightness, to just kind of steadily recognize what is happening, or perhaps being more globally open to knowing a broad field of awareness. And as that stabilizes, the concentration develops and allows the mind to stay in the present moment without wandering off into thought. And as I mentioned in the guided meditation, there are different ways this might feel. But there are times when you might feel that this spacious awareness is just very broad and panoramic, that it's as if you are looking at something from a distance and not seeing the detail of what's happening. But there's a very clear sense of presence, of knowing, being here in the moment, and knowing this kind of general flow of experience. Or at times, the mind might come right into moment-to-moment experience and really clearly recognize moment by moment what is happening and what is kind of the next most obvious experience that is going on in this space, it may feel kind of like there's just a kind of a rapidly changing flow of different experiences, a sound, a pressure, a pulsing, and then it just is kind of the mind just recognizing all these different things as they become obvious in this field of awareness. And this kind, it's kind of like a feeling of meeting moment to moment everything that we touch. It's just like a meeting, a clear knowing of very specific experience. So given the challenges, either the challenges, if you're not familiar with what it feels like to be aware and be present, this can be very challenging, this kind of practice, because it's so easy to slip into dreaming about what we're experiencing or thinking about it and kind of not be able to recognize the difference between thinking about and being present. For me, earlier in my practice, this was the case. It was kind of hard for me to touch into this feeling of open awareness and really clearly know that I was aware. It begins to take a recognition of what awareness feels like to be comfortable in this space. The benefits of this kind of practice are that it's very relaxing. It's like a non-doing practice. We're just sitting here and opening to experience. We're not trying to direct the attention anywhere. We're not trying to hold the attention on any particular experience or create any particular experience. It's just meeting things as they are, just opening to the container of what is actually happening. So this kind of practice can help to settle some of the tendencies, if you have them, towards over-efforting, of tightness and tension, striving in the practice. Those tend to be some of the drawbacks of the concentration style of practice. Very often when people start a meditation practice and they try to focus on one object, such as the breathing, the mind gets a little tight and tense, trying to stay with it. And so both sides here, the kind of the open, expansive spaciousness and the concentration, both sides are helpful. Another benefit around this open style of practice, where we're not actively trying to settle the mind down by paying attention to either mindfulness of breathing or scanning through the body. One of the other kind of benefits, which may not feel so much like a benefit as we're beginning to go through it, is that we really learn about the habits and tendencies of our mind in this style of practice. Because we are just opening to what the mind's natural tendencies are. And very much, the mind's natural tendencies are towards greed, aversion, and delusion. And so in opening our experience, opening up to just what is happening, we are likely to see quite a bit of greed, aversion, and delusion. So we really get to understand our minds. I like to think about this kind of open awareness practice as being your mind 101. You really get to know how your mind responds habitually. In the Mahasi approach and the Ubakin approach, you get to see some of that as the mind settles down. But the approach is kind of more almost trying to make an end run around the habits of mind, settle the mind down so that those habits are not operating, and then open to the changing experience. Whereas this practice settles the mind down through the habits and tendencies of mind. So it's a little bit of a slower approach to settling the mind, but it also is a great education. So we each need to find our own way in our practice. Each mind has its own strengths and its own tendencies, its own kind of natural tendencies of how it can pay attention. And what's most important in the meditation practice is to learn about how to bring our attention to our experience in a relaxed way. Our meditation practice is done by our minds. Our minds is the main vehicle. The attention is in the mind, the mindfulness is in the mind. All of the tools that we use to attend to our experience are in the mind. And if the mind is tight or tense, it's harder to meditate. So the meditation needs to be relaxed, the mind needs to be relaxed, and yet it can't be too relaxed because then it'll fall asleep or it'll get bored. So there needs to be this fine balance between relaxation and alertness, between ease and effort. So finding an approach in the meditation where the mind feels stable and comfortable and yet alert. So this might be different for different people. Some people might feel most comfortable bringing their attention to the breathing. And it's like, oh yeah, finally, I can just let go of all that other stuff. And it feels very natural and relaxing to just be able to let go of all of the thoughts and just come into the space of breathing. That may be very natural for some people. For other people, it may be the efforting towards staying with the breathing brings tension. And that it's hard to focus without striving or forcing. Some people then might find it easier to start with this more open style of practice and allow the mind to kind of settle as if you're just putting a jar of muddy water on a shelf and just letting that mud settle just very naturally, just sitting in the stillness of the container of the body and allowing what's happening to just happen and kind of watching it slowly settle. So different people have different natural proclivities. So it's helpful to explore for yourself which ways support you to find this relaxed, alert connection with experience. I also find it really helpful in my own practice to really take the time to set up this container of meditation, to find the way in which the mind can be relaxed and alert, kind of relaxed and yet attentive. To really not be in such a hurry to get anywhere in the meditation, but really allowing the meditation to be more respectful of where the body and mind are in this moment. So deepening our practice, we need both mindfulness and concentration. So we may find that we start through one avenue, through the concentration perhaps, or perhaps through the open awareness. And once that stabilizes and we find a sense of stability, if we've moved into the practice from the side of concentration, at some point we need to open up to more mindfulness. If we've moved into the practice through this open awareness, at some point we need to turn towards a little more settling and focus. So we need to develop skills in both areas. If we started with concentration, if we start with that settling of the mind in the area of attending to one experience, the states of mind that develop there are very pleasant if we are allowing the mind to settle down that way. So the mind feels pretty good, and there's a lot of blissful sensations in the body, blissful experiences in the mind. And it can be a little seductive, just to kind of hang out in that space of concentration. But what the practice is, moving from concentration to open to mindfulness, is basically to turn our mindful attention to the state of concentration itself. Notice the changing nature of that state of concentration, both as it is constructed and as it falls apart. So the movement in moving from concentration to mindfulness is to let go of that steadiness and turn attention to the changing nature of experience. If we're moving from an open awareness to a concentration practice, here, there's so many different ways that this might happen, but the mindfulness has stabilized somewhat. And if the mindfulness has stabilized to being able to stay connected with experience in a relaxed way, then at some point in that flow of experience, you might notice some particular thing. For instance, you may notice a breath arising in that place. And at that point, you may try to incline the mind to more gently focus, actually take in a little more detail around one of the experiences that's coming up. So that rather than just taking in the whole kind of panoramic view or the changing kind of flow of experience, directing the attention a little more closely to one area of the experience, perhaps coming into the area of the breathing. So we need to learn how to balance, encounter the drawbacks of one or the other, the tendency towards the forcing the attention with the concentration, the tendency towards the spaciness with the open awareness. So the balance between these two is usually around effort and ease. When we notice, if we're practicing this open style of awareness, if we notice that we're getting spacey, it's helpful to actually consciously bring in some focus, turn the attention to something to connect with specifically. If the mind is tight and tense around trying to focus on something, it's helpful to recognize that and relax. In my own experience with this exploration around the different styles of practice and how to balance the mind, again, as I said a few minutes ago, it's really helpful to take the time to set up the container. That if you are a little too anxious to jump to paying attention to one aspect of experience, you might not notice that the mind is getting tight around it. So to keep a kind of an eye on the climate of how the mind is responding to the meditation, kind of keeping track of how the mind is engaged with the practice itself. Is it getting like it's wanting something in particular? to try to create or construct something? Is it trying to push away some experience? So that we keep touch of our relationship to our practice, the attitude about our experience. So in learning this, we need to learn how to work with these attitudes. At times, all that's really needed is to simply acknowledge them. It's like if you're paying attention to experience and noticing the tightness around trying to come to pay attention to the breath, sometimes all you need to do is just recognize, oh, tightness, that's what's happening right now. And then the mind will kind of naturally relax when it recognizes the tightness is there. At other times, you might recognize that even noticing the tightness, that it kind of even gets tighter and tighter. And at that point, it may be necessary to actually do something, to back off. In my own experience, I find in moving from that open awareness to a space of concentration, it's this very slow process of kind of slowly guiding the mind into that smaller container of paying attention to the breath, for example. And slowly starting with that open awareness where the mind feels very relaxed for me, this is my own description of my own experience, starting from that place where the mind can be very alert and relaxed and trying to move to paying attention to just the breathing. It happens in a slow way in which the first time I try to bring my attention to the breathing, I almost always will notice that the mind is kind of tight around it. And then I move back to the open awareness. And then when the breathing comes up again, I try to bring my attention back and may notice again the tightness and just go back. I don't try to stay with the breathing when it tightens down on it. Just go back and open up and keep doing that over and over again. And it's like slowly the mind educates itself about how to stay with that experience of the breathing without tensing and forcing around it. It's like just re-educating the habit of mind around focusing. That our habit so much around focusing is this narrowing. You know, that we tighten and narrow. And what this practice is almost more about is allowing that experience of the breath to kind of expand to fill that larger area of awareness. So in the guided meditation, I guided you into a very broad awareness. And from that place, slowly over time, it's kind of like turning the attention, if you want to move towards a focus from that place, turning the attention to the breath and allowing the breath to get as big as that whole field. So there's many different ways to kind of work with these two, the concentration and the mindfulness, and to use the one that works for your mind, the approach that works for your mind, to help educate you about how to move to either opening to mindfulness or settling into deeper concentration. For me, I've seen that the connecting with how whatever practice for you feels most natural, that's your doorway. That's your pathway. But not necessarily to let it be just a narrow pathway. Allow that to be the place from which you branch out into exploring all the tools that we need to really deepen in our practice. So sometimes a question comes up about, well, how do I decide what to do at any given moment, given that there's all these different ways to pay attention? And some of this has to do with intention, you know, with what we are wanting to cultivate, with where we feel like is appropriate. If we are feeling like at this point in our practice it's appropriate to be cultivating concentration, there's some intentionality in that direction. So choosing practices that support that cultivation. Or at another time, there may be an intentionality to cultivate mindfulness more clearly, and choosing practices and approaches that allow that, support that in that moment. So it doesn't have to be, it can be guided by our own choices. How we decide to practice can be guided by our own choices. The other aspect of it, though, is noticing when our energies get out of balance. Choosing, you know, if we're intentionally cultivating concentration and yet we find our mind is just getting completely tied up in knots, then it's probably not so helpful to just keep going down that pathway, to be skillful about recognizing when it's a little too much, it's a little too tight. In my own experience of this, I did a 3-month retreat in which my intention was to cultivate concentration, to do the concentration practice. And at some point I recognized that the mind, that my particular mind on that particular retreat really needed more of that open awareness. And so I spent my mornings in concentration practice and my afternoons in open awareness practice. And that helped to keep my mind balanced. So we have to be also attuned to what our mind's capacities are at a given time and what works for us. So balancing the effort and energy and the style of practice depending on what's appropriate. And I'll end, I think, by talking a little bit about kind of the terrain of experience that all these different practices take us through. And sometimes we not only have the idea that there's a particular practice that we should do and that is meditation, we sometimes also have the idea that a specific state of mind is the meditation. So that we get familiar with a particular state of mind when the mind becomes very stable in a particular technique. So we're doing concentration practice and the mind gets really stable and we're right with the breath. And there's a certain experience that happens that we're very familiar with. And we think that's what our meditation is. That's what meditation is. Meditation is vast. The mind's terrain is vast. The possible kinds of experiences that we can have are uncountable. And mindfulness can take in any of it. And there's no one experience and no one way that it feels when we are attending to experience, just meeting experience as it is. I sometimes like to talk about kind of levels of consciousness. There's kind of our ordinary state of consciousness where, you know, we're kind of seeing things and experiencing things in this ordinary way of, you know, seeing people and chairs and carpets and walls. And I'm Andrea, and, you know, I know many of you out there, and I connect with you as individuals. And so that's kind of an ordinary state of consciousness, of just recognizing things in an ordinary way. And then the mind can also move into much more subtle realms through practices of concentration and mindfulness, of realms in which when you're deeply attentive, that all you're experiencing is just the dissolving of experience. And you open your eyes and you just see form and color, and there's not any sense of connecting with objects, really. You're hearing just pitch and tone, and it's not that you're hearing motorcycles. It's just vibration and pitch. And there are realms of experience through concentration where the mind gets so still that there's just spaciousness and hardly anything else. So there's just this vast terrain of possible experiences the mind can go through. And if we have the idea that mindfulness or the concentration in mindfulness practice is meant to take us in one slice of that vast realm of consciousness, we're really missing the boat. Because the practice really, part of the beauty of this practice of mindfulness and concentration combined is that we can become aware in any of these levels of consciousness. We can be completely mindful at ordinary consciousness, completely knowing what is going on, kind of keeping track at a very, it's at a very broad level, but it's very present. And that ability to be present at kind of ordinary states of consciousness supports our ability to go into the subterranean levels of consciousness. And as the mind gets more flexible and isn't quite so tied to this experience, this is what I'm looking for in meditation, there's much more malleability and flexibility in going between those levels. And so it's not so much of a holding on to a kind of a very limited, breakable container. But our mind can easily move from being in a state of deeper stillness to, oh, just getting up and walking around and talking to people and not having it be very jarring. Many people who go on retreats find the experience of coming out of retreats being a little bit difficult because the mind has really settled and stabilized and moved into a very quiet place. And coming out, we're forced into the ordinary world. And it feels really challenging and overwhelming at times. As the mind gets more and more fluid and flexible to move between these levels, it's less jarring. And it is possible to move between these levels so that we don't have to have the idea that our meditation is in one state of mind or one place or one kind of being. And using these many different ways of practice, we can practice in our daily lives, we can practice on the cushion, we can practice concentration to settle our minds and allow it, that this concentration is kind of like sharpening the knife, to be allowed to see more clearly what's happening. So using these many different approaches, we can learn to be aware at all times, all moments of experience. And the practice of mindfulness, this practice of knowing what's happening while it's happening, is an amazing, powerful tool that kind of tidies up our mental terrain. It supports the mind starting to let go of its habitual patterns. Because when the mind is mindful, there's much less room for those habitual patterns to get going and do the things that they do, creating havoc in our minds and in the world. So this mindfulness really is our pathway towards ease and peace, to be at ease with whatever is happening. Not necessarily to create or construct a state of mind so that we can be at ease or at peace, but so that we can open to experience. So I've talked for most of the time again, but we have a few minutes if there's any comments or questions. Yeah, Meryl.
I sat for like 4 Goenka retreats, and the first few days you're doing single-pointed concentration.
Oh, with the nostril, okay.
On the nostril, and then open up.
Okay.
So it was sort of like what you were talking about concentration to the mindfulness. And I'd never done single-pointed concentration like that before. And I really found that when I opened up, it was pretty amazing. Because the concentration was still there.
Yes.
Even though you were doing a moving thing, so that you really were paying more attention to the mindfulness than I ever did.
Yes.
In the other methods.
And that's the power of using that kind of approach. You know, the benefit of using the concentration is that it really allows the mind to really go into the depth of what is possible, the subtlety of what's possible to be mindful of.
Right.
Because, so we need both.
Right, because when you're doing the body scan, I mean, I called it like squiggles. Because really, all I was really feeling is just energy flowing.
Yes, yes.
And even though you're going down, the subtleties of the energy was amazing.
It is amazing. And we can get kind of hooked to that amazingness and think, oh, that's what the meditation is. So that's part of what I was wanting to point to. I mean, yes, there are some amazing things that we can see when the mind gets concentrated. And that level of attention doesn't scale to everyday life too well.
But, you know, it was interesting because they have like these like hour and a half sits. I mean, it's very intensive. But then when you had the time that you weren't sitting, I found for myself the transitions were not as difficult.
Uh-huh, interesting. Uh-huh.
For me, as like doing a 3-month or 6-month or whatever,
uh-huh.
and having to come back to the world. That's just
uh-huh, interesting.
For me.
Yeah, and so again, you know, the we're all different. So, you know, using that knowledge of what works for you, that's partly what I'm pointing at here, too.
So, you know, for me, it was like trying something that I hadn't done before and learning from that.
Yes, exactly.
So I had a question about the beginning, the spacious awareness.
Okay, the guided meditation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I noticed is that for myself, it was really hard to stay spacious, that the mind always wanted to come back and find an object.
Uh-huh.
You know, and or it would stay in one part of the body for the object, really then open up for the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about it wasn't a very long meditation, and that was the first time I'd really tried it. But it was very interesting, because like when I'm normally sitting, I'm aware of sensations throughout off my body often. But in this one, I was having a hard time moving.
You know, I think partly it's just getting familiar with a new tool. And, you know, as you know, it may be partly that you might have been thinking it was supposed to be a particular way. Later in the guided meditation, I was saying, well, you might notice that the attention is kind of moving to different areas or being panoramic. And, you know, it really varies. And it varies by time that you do it and by person, whether that kind of panoramic awareness of just kind of that broad touching into the non-detailed experience, or if you're just kind of, you know, watching the awareness kind of flow between experiences. So it can be either way in that expanding awareness. And I'm wondering if maybe you were expecting it or thinking it might be a particular way.
That I did. I think I was thinking that it should be sort of spacious and panoramic, and yet that wasn't where the mind was going.
Right.
You know, the mind was more looking to glom onto something to pay attention to, or whatever was most prevalent arising in the body was where my mind was going.
Right, and that's fine, actually, that it's just like rather than trying to stay with one object, you're just kind of allowing the mind to do what it does, noticing kind of a variety of experience, but allowing the range or the field in which the mind opens to experience to be very broad, so that it might move from hearing to body sensation to mood, as opposed to just being within body sensation.
There was also a slight fear of opening up that wide in my practice.
Uh-huh. That's a good thing to notice. Yeah, so you noticed that during the guided meditation, the fear.
Yeah, at one point, and uh-huh. then I saw the mind want to narrow down again.
Yeah, yeah. So, and sometimes it's helpful to respect that fear and just allow yourself to go back to what feels more natural or more natural in that moment, and then try to expand out again. And sometimes, too, in this guide, you know, moving out to the broader expanded awareness, we can find out of habit our mind kind of moves back to its kind of habitual paying attention down into one thing. And then it's kind of just like, okay, well, just see if I can open out again. And then it'll collapse back down, and then just kind of intentionally opening out. So there's a lot of different ways to play with that. And we need to stop. So I'm sorry we didn't have more time for discussion this evening. Thank you.